our hearts. Let's come before our Lord God and King. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we look to you now, and there's no place we would rather be than in the presence of our Lord God and King. And I ask you now, Lord, as your holy presence has filled this very place, we know there are ministering angels and warring angels all around us. I just pray, Lord, as we truly understand we are standing on holy ground, that truly your presence will magnify as our hearts continue to radiate Jesus, as we continue to love one another with the very love that you have inside of us. So Lord God, have your way in this time. We come to honor you. We come to praise you. We come to glorify your most holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says,
Amen.
Amen. Well, praise God. Well, take a look at your notes. As you all know, I started a series last week, and the title of the series is called Spiritual Examinations for a Healthy Mind and Heart. And what did we talk about last week? You guys remember? About hearing, right? But today, we're going to examine something different. Something that we know is very vital, very important in our walk with the Lord. And that involves reading the scriptures. And let's just be honest. We don't do it enough sometimes. Because the Word of God gives us life. If we don't spend time in it, how is it that God can continue to fill us up? We need to spend time in the Word of God. And I got to tell you the truth, though. I've never been much of a reader. I remember in school, every time the teacher gave us an assignment to read, I go, oh, no. I don't like reading. So you got to read chapters 2, 3, and 4. You know, and it's the only time that I really have to read is when they say, you got to, you have to. You don't want to fail the test, you got to read. And I remember one time in the sixth grade, after the summer break, the teacher got some students around, and we're just talking, and the teacher asked the students, so did you read any good books over the summer? And, you know, I remember some of them read, you know, really novel classics, you know, like Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer and, you know, The Hobbit. And when it came time for me to share, you know, I asked the teacher, so does comic books count? Because that's what I did all summer long. I read Spider-Man and Casper the Friendly Ghost, X-Men, and you guys remember Richie Rich? Oh, I love Richie Rich, you know? And that's what I did all summer. And my teacher, I remember he took a long pause, and then he said, no, Ben, they don't count. And I go, wow, that's all I read, though. And I'm sure she thought like my parents, you know, and most adults, right? They're nothing but a waste of time. I can almost hear my dad saying, Ben, why don't you read a good book instead? And, you know, as Christian believers, we don't only have a good book. We have the best book in the world. What is it? The Bible. Did you know yearly they're estimating that over 100 million Bibles are sold? 100 million! But yet, how come it doesn't seem like everyone's getting it? Because if they're reading the Bibles, change is supposed to be happening, right? But you kind of wonder why. Everyone has Bibles, it seems like, in their household. But are they really using it? Because you know what? If you really think about it, the Bible can be thought of as an instruction manual for life. You heard of the acronym Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth? Bible, B-I-B-L-E, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. And if you think of it like that, this is your instruction manual on how to live a most blessed life. But it's more than just reading it. You got to get it. You got to know what it's telling you. It speaks to you as you read it. And you know, the only problem, just like hearing, if we do not understand what we're reading, and we're not letting the Word of God come into our heart, deep within our hearts, I got to tell you, it's nothing but a waste of time. Because you can say, oh, I memorized 1,001 scriptures. Ask me anything, I'll know it. Yeah, you may have all this knowledge, but if you don't allow it to get into your heart, I got to tell you, you're not going to experience the fullness, the presence of God. You know, on several occasions, we find Jesus saying, have you not read? You read that, right? It's in the scriptures. And I'm going to give you some examples. It's not in your notes. I just want you to really get this when he's talking to the people and he's saying this. Have you not read? Okay, first one is in Matthew 12, 1 to 6. Just listen here. It says, at about that time, Jesus is walking through some grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry, so they began breaking off some heads of grain and eating them. But some Pharisees saw them do it and protested, "Look, your disciples are breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath." Jesus said to them, "Haven't you read in the scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God and he and his companions broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests are allowed to eat. And haven't you read in the law of Moses that the priests on duty in the temple may work on the Sabbath? I tell you, there is one here who is even greater than the temple, but you wouldn't have not condemned my innocent disciples if you knew the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices, for the Son of Man is Lord, even over the Sabbath." So we can see here, he's saying this in defense of his disciples. Okay? Well, here's another example where he's saying this, and basically he's answering a question regarding divorce. Just listen, look what it says here in Matthew 19. I'm just going to read it to you. It says, some Pharisees came and tried to trap him with this question. Should a man be allowed to divorce his wife for just any reason? And what does Jesus say? Haven't you read the scriptures? Jesus replied, they record that from the beginning, God made them male and female. And he said, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Since they are no longer two but one, let no one split apart what God has joined together. Okay, so he says that when he answers a question regarding divorce. He says, haven't you read it? And here's another one where Jesus is defending children who praised him in the temple. This is in Matthew 21, 15 to 16. It says, the leading priests and the preachers of religious law saw these wonderful miracles and heard even the children in the temple shouting, praise God for the Son of David. If you heard children praising the Lord, wouldn't you just be filled with joy? No, they were upset, but the leaders were indignant. They asked Jesus, do you hear what these children are saying? Yes, Jesus replied. Haven't you ever read the scriptures? For they say you have taught children and infants to give you praise. And the last one is regarding the prophecy of is becoming the chief cornerstone. And this is in Matthew 21, 42. And it says here, then Jesus asked them, didn't you ever read this in the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is wonderful to see. And when Jesus asked this question, have you not read? What do you think he was pointing to them about? Just pointing to them, the very fact that, hey, you don't get it. You probably read this 1,100 million times. That's not a number, but you know what I mean. But you don't get it. You just don't get it. What the scripture is trying to tell you. And that's the thing. When we read scriptures, we got to make sure we're going through the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, what do you want me to get out of this? Because this was something that was evident, especially with the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, the teachers of the law. Because they knew the scriptures, but they didn't necessarily have it deep within their hearts. And I got to tell you, it most likely will affect even Christians today. Because the problem is many do not read the Word of God as they should, and it affects our spiritual wellness. We cannot be spiritually healthy. We don't grab that Bible and say, Lord, feed me. Lord, fill me with your word. So let's raise this question. How well do you read the scriptures? First of all, I want you to understand there are different types of readers. And the first one, letter A here, it says those who, right in that blank, never read the Bible. And for these people who have never read the Bible, they probably never even own one, you know? So, you know, this includes most non-believers in the world, and sadly, yes, even some Christians. They profess to be Christians, but they don't even have a Bible. They never read it, they never touch it. And it's bad enough for non-believers to be biblically illiterate, but Christians, we have no excuse. If you say you're a Christian, you're a follower of Christ. If you're following Christ, well, how do you know what to do if you don't pick up that Bible and read it? And I gotta tell you, a lot of times you're not gonna feel like reading. Oh, I'd rather be watching the game. Forget the game. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit says, read my word. Just get that Bible. Maybe you don't feel like it. Say, Lord, show me. Lord, I want your word to come and fill me up. You'll be surprised. Suddenly, you may have no desire. Suddenly, that desire comes. Suddenly, as you read the word. You ever done this? I mean, in situations you didn't want to read the word, and you picked up that Bible anyway, the words of God, it just comes alive. Oh, this is what I needed in my life. Oh, I need to dig deeper into this very verse because, oh man, this is the solution. I need it. I got to tell you, that's how powerful the Word of God is. And as you just make that effort, say, Lord, I want more of your Word. I want more of you. Because, you know, for many non-believers, the reason why they do not read the Bible, because, you know what? Basically, they do not want to follow God's will. They rather choose the way of the world. And that's why people, they say, you know what? I don't even need that Bible. A lot of times, I say, come on, just try God's way. Read the Word. I say, no, I don't need it. I can figure out solutions on my own. I want to read to you what it says here in Psalm 1. 1 to 6. And I'm going to start at verse 1. You're going to come in at verse 4. It says here, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all that they do. But look what he says in verse 4. But not the wicked. Talking about the wicked who just says, no need the Bible, right? It says, they are like worthless chaff, scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. And look what it says there in Psalm 119, 51 to 53. It says, the proud hold me in utter contempt, but I do not turn away from your instructions. I meditate on your age-old regulations, O Lord. They comfort me. I become furious with the wicked because what? They reject your instructions. We got to look upon the Word of God as our instruction manual. Really. If you don't look at it as an instruction manual, it's time to say, yeah, this is what it tells me on how to live a blessed life. Because if you change your perspective on what the Bible really is, I really believe you're going to start desiring the Word of God more. Knowing that it will give you answers to your life's problems. Amen? It will if you trust in it, if you believe in it. Well, look at what it says here in letter B. It says, those who read sparingly. And these people, they may possess a Bible, but they'll read a passage only here and there when they feel like it. Otherwise, they say, it's okay, I'll just let it sit there. Only when I get problem, then I'll go to it. And if the truth be told, the Bible is used mostly, guess what? As a paperweight or a dust collector. And you got a pretty expensive paperweight there, you know? If you have one of those leather, you know, nice gold-bonded Bibles. And, you know, I mean, you know, the very fact is that's what people use it for. And I have to tell you, I was there before just in that situation where I remember a lot of times my Bible would just sit in the corner collecting dust. And when I picked it up, it's like a flurry of dust. I remember that. I go, whoa. And then I realized, man, no wonder my life is not going the way I want it. I'm not getting the Word. And we realize, don't use it as a dust collector. Don't use it as a paperweight. Use it as your instruction manual for life. Amen? And you know, this may or may not be believers, right? But they have a Bible in their homes because it just seems like it's the right thing to do. A lot of times people tell me, oh, actually, I just have a Bible on that table because it's my good luck charm. Well, man, that's no reason to have a Bible. To just put it there and say, okay, it'll bring me luck. No. The Word of God will bring you blessings if you read it, if you spend time in it. Amen? Because the Bible, it may be the number one bestseller in the world, but you know what? It's the least read book in the world. Did you know that? Because they did surveys. I mean, all around the world. And people, most people will say, yeah, I got a Bible in my home. But then the next question is, do you read it? Guess what the answer is? Yeah. And they'll say, well, maybe like once every couple months, I'll spend a few minutes. Well, you know what? The Word of God says to get in it daily. Get in it and just receive from the Holy Spirit as you pick up that Bible. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 3:14. It says, but their minds were made what? Dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ has it been taken away. And you know what? You kind of think about that. Why were their minds dull? Because you got to think about it. In those days, you know, it was about the teachers of the law saying, you got to follow the rules of the law. You got to read it, you got to meditate it, and you got to do it whether you like it or not. I mean, that's the kind of attitude they have. So you don't read it, you're going to burn in hell. And you got to realize, you know, if someone told you that, would you go, okay. Well, some people might be scared into doing it, but you know what? They're going to do it in fear. And they're going to do it with not the heart of wanting to do it. Because you know what? When it really comes down to it, it's not about that you have to do it. It's because you love to do it. That you know this is the word that you need to in order to sustain you, to keep you going, to keep you strong, to keep your spirit alive in Christ. Amen? Amen. And as you really understand that, I mean, you're going to be filled with more of God's love, more of God's peace, more of God's joy. I want to show you this video now. It's called Diary of a Bible. I'm going to tell you, just look at this video and really take in the message of what... The message of the video, what it's trying to convey, because you know what? Just imagine if it's a case where a Bible could actually talk. And imagine it kept a diary of all the things that the human owners had said and done. I want you to take a look at this. Can you go ahead and play that, Benson?
December 25th. They're off to a Christmas party. I remember when he used to read Luke 2 every Christmas Eve to his family. Gave them all such joy. March 15th, spring. I just cleaned the house. He picked me up, but only to wipe away the dust. He's pretty busy thinking about how he's going to afford another child. If he only knew, I have the perfect words for him. March 20th. I got packed into a suitcase for some reason and I never got taken out. Just tucked away in the pocket. You know, the one with the net. April 14th. His father is sick and they're off to the hospital. Romans 8 could give him perspective. It could give the family hope. John 3 would be great for him to share with his dad, but they left me here. June 8th. Summer. The kids are out of school and having fun. They never pick me up though, probably because he doesn't anymore. He watched them play through the window, but he was sad about something. There's so much in my Psalms for him to read. August 19th. His father passed away and we're going to the funeral. I thought for sure I'd get open today, but no. Just carried along, but never open. I wanted to help so much. October 12th. Still haven't been picked up since the funeral, and he and his wife are pretty distant from each other right now. The family is suffering. The wind did blow my pages open right in front of him, but he just glanced down and walked away. November 28th. The whole family is visiting. Everyone's sitting around the table. Somebody asked what happens after someone dies, and they all had opinions. Nobody answered with any authority. Hopelessness filled the room. We talked about something else at that point. December 25th again. There's a Christmas party tonight, and he walked right by me. Luke 2 would be such a great place to start. Anywhere, would be a great place to start.
Wow. Anywhere would be a great place to start. And you gotta think about this, yeah? Because I understand when there are times when we're in grief, we're just experiencing hardship in life, and sometimes you think, okay, now it's time to grab the Word of God, to get into it. But you realize, you know, if you only do that when things don't go your way, I mean, you're not going to be constantly filled. I mean, you've probably gotten to that point because you're not in the Word. But if you were in the Word, you would be experiencing strength. You'll be experiencing power even through the hardship. And then when, as you grab that Word of God again, suddenly you're even filled even more. And that's what we need to do. It's so important. We have to be in the Word daily, amen? And we got to say, Lord, I hunger for your Word. Lord, I desire more of you. But look at letter C here. It says, there are those who read selectively. And it is for those who read only certain parts of the Bible. For example, I know some people, they only like to read like the book of Psalms or just the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And that's all they do. They just stay in those books. But we got to realize the Word of God will speak to you through all of the books, all 66 of the books. There's 39 books in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament. And we got to realize the whole Word of God will speak to you in ways that will transform your life. But if you only say, okay, I'm just going to read the book of Proverbs because it makes me feel good. It's more than just making you feel good. It's about giving you the life that you desire, the blessed life. And we must look through the whole Bible. Because, you know what, some people say, oh, I need to read the Bible to soothe my aching heart, to help me to feel better about the things that I know I've done that were wrong, and it calms my troubled heart. Well, you know what, it may be able to do that. It may calm your troubled heart. But you know what, you can't really experience the fullness of God's Word and His presence unless you really dig deep. You gotta dig deep! You got to put in that effort. It doesn't just come to you automatically when you said, yes, Lord, I believe in you. No, you still got to sit down, get that Bible, read it, and ask the Holy Spirit to show you even more. Look what it says here in Joshua 8, 34 to 35. It says there, afterward, Joshua read, what does it say there? All the words of the law. The blessings only? And the cursings, just as it is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of awe that Moses had commanded that Joshua did not read to the whole assembly of Israel, including the women and the children and the foreigners who lived among them. And let me ask you, why do you think Joshua also read about the cursings? Why not just the blessings and make them feel good? No. He had to tell them, if you don't do it God's way, this is what's going to happen. You're going to have a cursing upon your life. And you know, just to think about this, you know, some people may say, so why is it that, you know, I have to read about like David and all his sins and all the, you know, mess ups that he had made, because he was called a man after God's own heart. That he did mess up, right? Oh, I'm just going to read about the good things David did. Well, you know what? Is there a reason why it's in the Bible? Because, you know what? We learn from people's mistakes, don't we? That's what it's all about. That's why God put it there. He's telling you, yeah, God loves David. I mean, he has a heart, big heart for God, but he's still messed up because he's human. And we can learn and say, you know what? We're not going to make that same kinds of mistakes, yeah? And we realize that's when we're going to grow. We're going to truly experience the fullness of who God is in us. When we just say, Lord, I know what your word is telling me. Lord, I receive it, and I'm going to make some changes. Amen? Well, letter D here, it says, those who read defensively. And it is those who read the Bible for this very reason. Now, I want you to understand, just to prove other people wrong. And a lot of times people say, you know what, I'm going to study this Bible so well that if a non-believer were to ask me a question, oh, I'm going to be ready. Oh, yeah, I'm going to shut them down. Well, you know what? It's good. The Bible says, be prepared in season, out of season, to present the Word of God, to tell people what the hope you have in Christ. That's good. That is important. But you know what? There are some people, they do it just for this reason. They want them to look so good that when somebody asks them about the Word of God, they got all the answers. And they'll quote it scripture to scripture to scripture. And here's the thing. Do we need to be prepared? Yes, we do. But do not do it to impress other people, because that's for the wrong reason. Because one should not read to prove one's own position, but to improve one's position before God. Did you get that? Let me say it again. One should not read to prove one's own position, but to improve one's position before God. You don't have to prove anything to anybody. It's about you improving yourself when you read the Word of God. You see that? Because sometimes people say, oh, I just got to read because I got to be ready. Yeah, you got to be ready, but make sure that's not your only reason. Because sometimes people will say, yeah, you know what? Jehovah's Witnesses, they come to my door. That's how I got all the verses ready. Oh, I'm going to shut them down so hard. And I go, oh, man, brother. And I got to tell you, they came to my door. But you know what? I try to do first and foremost, show them the love of God. It's not about shutting them down, saying, you're wrong. Oh, your theology is messed up. Imagine someone saying that to a person who doesn't really know the truth. No, you show them the love of God. Say, I love you and God loves you. And you go from there. Amen? Then the Holy Spirit will take over. He will show you what to say. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 2, 1-2. This is what Paul is saying to them. He says, when I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. So he says, my main focus is to tell you about who my Savior is. I'll tell you about Jesus, what he did for me. I was a total mess, and God lifted me up. God restored me. God made me who I am today. And that's why I love the scriptures. That's why the Word of God is so powerful. You know what I'm saying? You see, I didn't come to impress. I come to show you, yeah, I have a Savior in my life, and you need him too. See what I'm saying? And you tell him the love of God is for you. If you just receive it, God will show you who he is. God will fill you up. Amen?
Amen.
Well, look at letter E here. It says, those who read regularly. And it is for those, this is the primary reason why we read the Bible. So that we can learn from it. So we can understand it. So that as we obey the Word of God, the abundance of life that God promises comes. It is shown in our life. And you know, this is evident with the Ethiopian eunuch, as you find it in Acts 8, it's in your notes, 27-34. Let me read it to you, what it says here. The Ethiopian, or the eunuch, had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. And seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk beside the carriage. And Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. And Philip asked, do you understand what you are reading? And the man replied, how can I unless someone instructs me? Look what he does next. He urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. And you know what? The point I'm trying to make is sometimes we may say, yeah, I've been a Christian for 20 years. I know the Word of God. Man, I've memorized so many scriptures, and that's ask me anything. And you know, someone comes up to him and says, you know what, I want to show you something that I learned from the Word of God. Oh, I already know what you're going to tell me already, even before you tell me. I know the scriptures. And the person may try to explain something that the Holy Spirit revealed to him. Oh, I don't need that, brother. I already got it up here already. What I'm trying to make is, no matter how long you've been a Christian, no matter how many scriptures you memorize, no matter how well you think you know the Bible, I mean, always go hungry for the Word of God. And if a brother and sister is trying to teach you something, say, oh, please tell me. Receive it. And if you know the Holy Spirit is trying to speak to you through that scripture, guess what? We know the Word of God does that. It gives us even newer revelations. Don't reject what other people are saying when they're trying to show you scriptures. Say, okay, please, tell me more. Tell me more. Be a student. You don't always have to be that teacher. know, always receiving, always wanting more of the Word of God. Amen? Amen. And that way you will grow. That way, you know, you're going to become like this eunuch, this Ethiopian, where he always hungered for understanding of the Word of God. And he invited him into the carriage. And we should invite, you know, people into our homes and say, yeah, come. And let's talk about God. Let's talk about the Word so that we can receive even more. Amen?
Amen.
But look at number 2, Roman numeral 2. It says the importance of good reading. Well, the first one here, it says, letter A, of course, we all want to be blessed. And the scriptures point clearly, if you read the Word of God, you're going to be blessed by your reading. Look what it says here in Revelation 1:3. It says, God blesses the one who reads the words of this prophecy to the church. And he blesses all who listen to its message and obey what it says, for the time is near. So it says we are to listen, but do we stop there? No, we got to obey it. Because that's where you're going to be blessed. And I heard people telling me they're so down and out, they're so depressed. And I say, get in the Word. Get in the Word. And I kind of give them a you know, daily reading program. And because a lot of times you don't know where to start. And as you start reading the Bible, I mean, sometimes I see the total change. Suddenly they're filled with power. They're filled with strength. Because you know what? They're getting in the Word. You know, and they may say, I never understand what I read. But as they go hungry for the Word of God, and they ask God for understanding, guess what God will do? Give them understanding. And suddenly they get it. They go, oh, this is what I needed to hear. This is what I need. And that's where we got to start. We got to begin by picking up that Bible and say, Lord, show me. Lord, speak to me. Letter B here, it says to be challenged. And number one here, it says to cause one to be what? Born again. Look what it says in 1 Peter 1:23. It says, for you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living Word of God. The very fact that you're going to live forever, that you have eternal life, comes from where? The Word of God. Because you read the Word of God and you accepted it as truth, and that's why it has gone right into your heart. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you believe just reading the Word of God alone will make someone or cause someone to receive Christ and to be born again? Just reading it, I mean. Just reading the Word of God. If no one ever explained, just gave the person a Bible and they just read it over and over and over, do you think that will help them to make a decision to receive Christ into their life? Well, the thing is, you may read it, but still the Holy Spirit has to do the work in your heart. The Holy Spirit has to touch your heart so much that it just doesn't become head knowledge. Because becomes something where you received it from your heart, from your soul. And you say, this is the truth, and that's why I want to live according to the Word. You know, there's this man, his name is Lee Strobel. And, you know, he was an atheist who spoke against Christians in the Bible. He was like a modern-day Paul. I mean, he would just say, you Christians, you don't know anything. You believe in this garbage. I mean, that's what he was saying. You know, by profession, he was a lawyer, and he was a very intellectual man. He graduated from Yale University, and, you know, he was very successful as a lawyer. But here's the thing. When his wife became a Christian, he would just have these arguments with her. He would speak out against her, say, oh, come on, honey. You believe this stuff? Oh, come on now. I know you better than that. So you know what he did? He said, in order to disprove her of her beliefs, he did some intense Bible studies. Oh, praise God, you know. And he just read through all the book. He read the Bible like probably several times. Because he's so intellectual, right? Probably in like a month or two, he read the Bible like, I don't know, a dozen times. From cover to cover. And he read all these other books, you know, from other Christian authors. And probably read like, I don't know, hundreds, right? And for the very reason that he wanted to prove her wrong. And he says, with these intense studies, you know what he discovered? He discovered God was real. He said, God is the living God. Just through intellect now, just through reading. And you go, wow. And you know what? But the thing about that was, when he realized how real God was, it started going into his heart. It just didn't stay in his mind. It traveled to his heart. Then he realized, I need God. Oh Lord, I need you. And you know, he fell in love with God so much, he quit his profession as a lawyer. And he became, guess what? A preacher, a pastor. And he wrote many books. And you probably heard some of his books, A Case for Christ. Kind of funny, yeah, because you know, he was a lawyer. A Case for Christ, A Case for the Holy Spirit. That's some of the books that he had written. And you know, because he now is defending God. He's now defending Christ. He was against God one time in his life. Now he's defending God, saying, God is real. You need God. And you know, the whole thing about this is, it's not just about your intellect. Because it'll stay in your mind, you know, as you read it. But, you know, when you really love God, it doesn't stay there. Amen? It travels. It's boom. And it hits your heart. And you realize, man, I need God so much. Well, look at number two here. It says, to gain a mature understanding of what you believe. Look what it says in Hebrews 6:1. It says, so let us not stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead to become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. And we got to realize our spiritual life and growth depends on reading the Word of God. And you got to mature, because it comes to a point where it's not just about the milk. You know, baby, they drink milk when they're young, right? But do they continually drink milk through their whole life? No, they need solid food. They need sustenance. They need the kind of food that will help them to grow. And it has to come to a point where we got to stop asking the same questions over and over again. Because, you know, I know, people will say, oh, there's no such thing as a dumb question. Just keep on asking, right? But just imagine someone who has professed to be a Christian for, let's just say, several years, let's 3-4 years. And because this happened, someone asked me, so Pastor, you know, after like, you know, going to church and getting the Word of God for like a couple years, they asked the question, so Pastor, why is it again that I can't have fun doing the same things that the world loves doing? I said, oh, God. You know, it's just like, you know, it's because God has set you apart. We are not to receive the things of the world. The kind of stuff that they love to do, it's sin. We are to be set apart. We are a new creation in Christ. But I probably heard this, you know, hundreds of times. And the reason why keeps on asking, because they know the answer, but they just can't accept the very fact they can't let go of their sin. Or they don't want to let go of their sin. I said, you got to come to a point where you got to ask God for help. And say, Lord, I want to become more like Jesus. You got to put your foot down and say, no more. I don't know what the Word of God tells me, and I'm going to choose to live it. I'm going to choose to embrace the Word of God and do what it tells me to do. Look what it says in Proverbs 1:1-4. It says, these are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. What does it say there? Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline. To help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and what kind of lives? Successful lives. To help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. And you got to have a real simple mind to receive the Word of God. Don't complicate it. I got to tell you, many times people, they say, oh, I got to do intense study on that verse. And they spend like hours, and you know, and the thing is, you may totally twist the heart, the meaning of what the Holy Spirit is trying to show, because you just go too deep into it. No, you don't have to do it. I mean, sometimes it's okay, right? Because you really want to dig deeper. But sometimes, you know what you got to do? Holy Spirit, show me. Because I love your word. Can you just speak to me right now? You're going to be amazed. God's going to give you fresh revelation. Going to speak to you in ways that, oh, I get it. And you might have spent like 1,600 hours in research, but the Holy Spirit just gave you something in just 5 seconds flat. Oh, I get it. I get it, Lord, because the Holy Spirit just downloaded right into your mind and it came right into your heart. Amen. That's what you got to do. Go through the Holy Spirit and He will show it to you. Because, you know what? Reading the Word of God will help train your mind for success in life. And the more you read it, you're going to have more aha moments. You know what I mean by that? Where you ever read the scriptures and you know, you just pick the Bible, you may have a daily reading, whatever, and you just open it and you read it, and it might tell you, you know what, it's time, you know, you might say the scripture, forgive your brethren. And then suddenly the Holy Spirit brings to mind someone that, you know, you had trouble with. And then you're kind of go, oh, Lord, you're speaking to me about that. And then you kind of carry it, and maybe you don't act upon it right away, but, you know, the Holy Spirit keeps tugging at your heart. And then you find, okay, I'll call the person. And you call the person, and the person says, oh, I'm so glad you called. Oh, man, I just feel like giving up. And you tell the person, you know, I just want to tell you I love you. I forgive you what you said about me. I just want to let you know God loves you. The person says, oh, thank you. I needed someone to call me because I just feel like, man, life is too hard. And then you go, aha. Okay, now I know why the Lord gave me this message, this scripture. You're going to have a lot of aha moments. I ain't kidding you. The more you get in the Word of God, you're going to go, aha. Ah, I get it. I know why the Lord had me read that scripture. You know what I'm saying? And that's where you're going to be filled. You're going to be overflowing of the Word of God. And another thing about having a mature understanding of the scriptures is that it will show you the mystery of Christ. Look what it says here in Ephesians 3:3-5. It says here, as I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. As you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by his Holy Spirit has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. And I've got to tell you, the more and more you get into the scriptures, especially in this day and age, where it just seems like, doesn't it seem like the world is just kind of like falling apart? Doesn't it seem like that? You hear it in the news, and you read it in the newspaper, and it just seem like, you know, moral corruption, and, oh man, it's just like, man, is it ever going to get better? The thing is, when you get more and more in the Word, the mysteries of Christ will be continually revealed. Because, you know what? The Bible clearly tells us there are secrets of the kingdom. And as you get more and more into the Word, you got to understand the Lord, he's going to reveal to you secrets and plans of the kingdom, what he's doing right now in the world. And then when you hear it in the news, oh, I get what the Lord is doing. Ah, I understand. The whole world may be panicking. Oh, no, the sky is falling. But you're at peace. I know what my Father God is doing. I'm not worried. Because I read the Word and he tells me how he's watching over me. I know what he's doing. You see what the Word of God will do? He will reveal to you the mysteries. What is a mystery to the world? No, it will not be a mystery to you. Because you're in the Word. Because you're listening to the Holy Spirit. That's why you're not anxious. You're trusting in God. Amen?
Amen.
Matthew 13:10-11, it says, look what it says there. His disciples came and asked him, why do you use parables when you talk to the people? And Jesus replied, you are permitted to understand, what does it say there? The secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but, what does it say there? Others are not. And why do you think he's telling it to only certain people? It's only the ones that are hungering and thirsting for his word. It's the ones that saying, Lord, speak to me. Lord, show me. Lord, tell me what I need to do. Guess what? He's revealing it to you and to me. If we're constantly in his word, if we're always listening to what the Holy Spirit is showing us. Well, Roman numeral 3 here, it says steps to better reading. And, you know, there are certain practical things that we can do to improve our reading of the scriptures. And letter A here, it says to read regularly. And as Paul instructed Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:13, he says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of scripture, to preaching and to teaching. And I want to focus on the words, devote yourself. Because just think about this, you know, like for a husband and wife, right? When they say that they're devoted to each other, that means, guess what? Well, what are they doing? They're saying, you know what? We're committed to one another. And same thing. We got to commit ourselves to getting into the Word. We got to make it a point where we say the Word of God, we're always stuck together. You got to make it just like a husband and wife, right? You're bound together in the Spirit of God. Think of it this way. The Bible, the Word of God, we're bound spiritually. And we're not to leave it. We gotta pick it up and say, oh, just show me. As you open it, Lord, I need you. Lord, give me more. That's where you're going to experience, oh, just so much more of God. And, you know, the thing is, you know, some people say, but Pastor, I don't know where to start. I don't know where to begin. Well, there are reading plans that you can go through. And if you have internet access, you can go to this site. I love to go to Our Daily Bread. And you can go to odb.org. And a lot of times we have these little booklets. But right now, I keep on, you know, sending emails to them saying, hey, I need more now, but they haven't sent it to me yet. But I'm waiting. But I've got to send them another email. But because a lot of people are asking for it. And if you don't have one of those booklets yet, go on the site. Every day, you know, when you go on the site, there's a calendar. You click on that date, and there's going to be a reading. It's on your notes, yeah? You see odb.org. And then you will know what to read. And if not, you can go on Bible Gateway. They also have daily reading plans that you can click on and you can have a daily reading there. So, yeah, Bible Gateway is excellent. But if you don't have internet access, there's something else. But where is it now? I had it a second ago. Here it is. Okay, here's a 52-week Bible reading plan. And, you know, if you read this in its entirety, if you go through every book, you're going to read the entire Bible in 1 year, because it's about 52 weeks, right? Give or take a week or two. But you see, I just want to, can I just have you pass this out, brother, real quickly? And then I'll explain it to you. Okay, maybe I'll give you half here. Thanks, brother. I got to tell you, this is a real popular reading plan, and if you don't have a reading plan, I advise you, take a look at this. And I never been through this, but I know a lot of people who have, and they really love it. Okay. Well, if you don't have one yet, I'm going to start explaining it. Okay, you see where it says on the top, you see epistles, the law, history, psalms, poetry, prophecy, and gospels. These are the different category of books in the Bible, right? So, you know, like some reading plans, they start from Genesis, and then you go, okay, the first day, Genesis 1 and 2, and then the next day, Genesis 3 and 4. Yeah, but this and look, but the first day, you're going to read Romans 1 to 2, chapters 1 to 2. And then, because you're going to be reading the epistles. If you start today, you could be reading a book from the epistles. Tomorrow, you're going to read a book from the law, which are books written by Moses, and that's Genesis 1 to 3. Then on Tuesday, you see, so you go across. You don't go down, you go across, right? And then as you read it, you check it off. Then it comes Joshua 1 to 5, and then the next one is the Psalms. And this whole down list is all the Psalms, right? And then Psalms 1 to 2, then Thursday come along, you're going to read poetry, the books of the poetry, right, in Job. And then the Friday will be Isaiah, which is prophecy books. And then Saturday will be the Gospels. Isn't this great? If you don't have a reading plan, this is something you can follow. Just a chapter or two a day. Takes you maybe like 20 minutes. Maybe half an hour, right? But now you have no excuse. You have a reading plan. And you know, this is a good one to follow, yeah? Because you're going through all the different categories of the Bible, yeah? Isn't that great? So please, try it out and see, you know, how it will just affect your life. And let's look at letter B now. It says here, to read what? Devotionally, and actually, yeah, I wanted to add another word, and worshipfully. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, I think we just look upon reading the Bible as sort of like a homework assignment, if you know what I mean. Oh, I gotta read it because the pastor says I gotta do it, you know. And no, don't do it for that reason. I gotta tell you. Begin and end with prayer. Before you start reading the Bible, say, Father God, help me to understand what you're going to show me. And then when you finish reading, say, thank you, Lord. I receive your word. And this is what the psalmist did in Psalm 119. It's not your notes, but I got the reference to the scripture there. Psalm 119, you can look it up later, because I didn't have enough room to print everything. So, but in Psalm 119, 10, 18, it says, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. And he says in verse 18, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Isn't that a good prayer? Open the eyes of what? My heart. So that I can really receive what you want to show me. Letter C here, it says, read with intent. And basically what that means is, when you read the scriptures, already put in your mind, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Because sometimes we read the scriptures, no, Lord. No, I can't forgive my enemy. That's not what the Lord wanted me to read. I'm going to find what the Lord is really trying to tell me here. No. Whatever you read, say yes, Lord. Look what it says in Ezra. It's not in your notes. Ezra 7:10. I'm going to read to you. The reference is there, though. It says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. Remember last week we talked about in James, it says, do not just merely hear the word and not do it. It says, you got to do it. As you hear it, do it. This scripture is telling us, as you read it, you must also do it. See what I'm saying? Last year was about hearing and doing. This time is about reading and doing. And it's clear. It's in Ezra 7:10. And we just do it as the Word of God speaks to us. And letter D here. It says, read out loud when possible and mark away. I go, what are you talking about, Pastor? First of all, you know what this is? A highlighter. And you know, we got to use this because, you know, sometimes people, you know, say, Pastor, you want me to mark up my Bible? No, my Bible is expensive, you know. Oh, no, you going to tell me to mark them up? Isn't that sacrilegious? Oh, man. Just think about this. If you wrote a book and you gave it to someone and someone goes, wow, oh, that's good. Wouldn't you feel good about it? How do you think God feels? When you go, oh, Lord, I love that what you said. Oh, that's so good. Yeah, and that's what it is. The Lord will give you answers in life, right? He'll show you what you need to do. As you just mark it and you go, wow. And you look at it the next time. Oh, I remember why I highlighted it. And it will speak to you in the same way as spoken to you in the first time. And that's where you really let the Word of God just continue, just flow. It'll continually just come in and you realize, man, I need the Word of God. You know, and here's the thing. I'll give an example, okay? You guys know Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, right? And so, what I would do if I saw this, right? If the Holy Spirit just revealed this to me, I would first of all, I would circle shepherd and highlight it, right? Because a lot of times, if you just read it, then you kind of forget about it, right? So, first of all, get a Bible that you're willing to mark up, okay? Don't say, this Bible, I'm going to mark it up. I'm just going to go crazy with this marker. Make a decision. You're going to do that, okay? So that you're not going to hold back every time. Oh, this Bible costs $76. Yeah, just get a Bible, okay, that you make it a point you're going to mark up. And so, okay, the Lord is my shepherd. I would highlight shepherd. I would circle it. And then I put an arrow on the side. Shepherd. He's my caretaker. I write in the word caretaker. You know, he's my leader. You see what I'm saying? Because suddenly you think, oh, the Lord's my shepherd. Oh, that sounds nice. But what does it mean? You know? So put it on the side. Oh, my caretaker. He takes care of me. When I'm lost, he finds me. You can write that. Finds me. See what I'm saying? I shall not want. And you come, oh, I shall not want. Oh, what does that mean? Think about it. Who do you want more than anything else? You want Jesus, don't you? Just write in the blank. His circle, not one. And then you put only Jesus. And then he makes me lie down. Well, what does that make you think of? When he says makes me lie down. What does he give you when he makes you lie down? Rest. Gives you peace. Circle it. Highlight it. Put an arrow on the side. Peace. And then, when you get the same Bible again, you turn to there. Oh, you may be feeling really down, but you're not just going to read it for what it is. Suddenly, you got all these words that come alive. Oh, peace, caretaker. You know what I'm saying? That's how we should read the Bible. It will give you instant peace, instant joy, instant love. Because you've been through it, and the Lord spoke to you. And another thing you can do is reading out loud. And here's the thing, right? If you're, you know, going to read the Bible late at night and your spouse is asleep, open up your Bible and say, "The Lord is my shepherd." And then your wife and your children go, "What is that doing?" But you can just find a quiet place. You don't have to read it out loud, so loudly, right? You just, find a quiet place. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And emphasize certain words. "The Lord is my shepherd." Say it with heart. Say it with emotion. Because this is another way to maintain focus when your attention drifts. Because it's so easy, don't you find that? When you're reading the Bible, your attention just kind of drifts everywhere. Your mind kind of just wanders. And I tell you, it's powerful when you start reading it out loud. And researchers have found that this will increase your opportunity for retention by 100%. When you read it out loud. And I kind of think about it, but it's true, Try it. Because when you read silently, you just use two parts of your body. What do you think you use when you just read to yourself? You use your eyes and your brain, your mind, right? But when you read out loud, you use four parts. Okay, what is it? Your brain, your eyes, what else? Mouth. Ears, your voice and your ears. Four! It doubles your retention possibility. You see that? Try it. You don't have to do it all the time, but when you're tired especially, find a quiet place and just read it out loud. It's powerful. Try it. I want you to understand what it really comes down to. We got to take charge of the time we spend in reading our Bible. We can't make excuses or, "Oh, I don't have time," or, "I'm just too tired," or whatever the reason may be. Because you know what? If you really want to experience the fullness of God's Word, the fullness of God's presence in your life, you must read the Scriptures. And I can tell you, it's a supernatural thing that will happen. It's not something that will only happen in the natural, because in the natural, you might get wiser and smarter and all that, but in the supernatural, I can just imagine the Spirit of God just coming in. As you read the Scripture, as you take it in, it just flows right into you. You're empowered. Your strength, your head can't go down, regardless of your situation, because a lot of times our head goes down when things don't go our way. But the Holy Spirit, as you read the Scripture, He comes and He lifts your head up. And you're filled with the presence of God. Look at what it says here in Joshua 1:8. It says here, "This book shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all what is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have," what? Good success. Who doesn't want good success in their life? We all do, right? But we must read the Word, because that's key. That is so important. If you really want to grow in the ways of God, you must grab that Bible. And you know what? It's okay. There are times that you're going to be hurting. Sometimes you're going to be experiencing great grief. You all do, right? But don't let it be the only time that you go to the Word. But you know, the Word of God will give you comfort. It will give you peace when you need it the most. I want to conclude by showing you this video. It's actually played in the song of "Lord, I Need You," the song we just sang in worship. The funny thing is, I never talked to Omar about this, and it's funny, when I heard him sing, even yesterday, "Lord, I Need You," I already chose, this video. And I know it's the Holy Spirit's leading. I want you to watch this video and really understand that we really need God. We really need His Word every single day of our lives. Benson, can you go ahead and play that video, please?
I confess
Tears, and I just realized I need God so much too, you know. And I just think about my life, and oh man, there are so many times I was heading the wrong path. God, He cared about me enough to say, "Ben, look at me. I love you, man. I got a purpose and plan for your life, and I'm so grateful to God. I need Him every single day. There's never a moment that I can say, I don't need you, God. I need Him every single day. You know, I may feel strong in the Word or in the presence of God, but I need Him. He is the one that gives me all I need to have a life that is blessed, a life that is filled with His presence." And you know, when we were watching the other video, you know, Diary of a Bible, if you kind of listen, you kind of heard what the Bible was saying, you know. Not that Bible can talk, but, you know, He was saying, "Hey, the children are no longer reading me because He stopped reading me." And I kind of looked at that and go, yeah, you know what? It really points to the Father, to the man, and say, you know what? You got to be the one to teach your family well the Word of God. And I got to tell you, there are times, I got to work on that. Sometimes I get so busy with everything, I forget. And I just watch them and say, yeah, Lord, you're telling me I got to step up even more. I want to read to you the scripture. It's not in your notes. It's in Nehemiah 8:8. It says here, "They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read." And we got responsibilities You know, as parent, as a husband, as a wife, we gotta be the ones to encourage one another, speak the word of God into everyone's life, so that we can truly stand strong in the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
We all gotta help each other out. I need you. And you need me. We're in this together as a family, united in the Spirit of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. I want to go ahead and bow our hearts. Let's come before our Father God. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the message spoken today. And Lord, just like the song says, Lord, we need you. Oh, how we need you. It's your word that sustains us. It's your word that gives us life. And I just pray, Father, as we come with our hearts fully surrendered to you each and every day, that you're going to fill us up with your words. As we read your word, I pray, Father, your words will come alive. It's not just something that will give us head knowledge. No, it will give us a heart that is like Christ. Oh, that's what we desire more than anything. And I pray, Father, as we truly embrace your words, I pray that your words will give us great understanding on how to live a life that is truly blessed. And you may be saying right now, you know, Pastor Ben, I kind of realize, yeah, I've been a Christian for some time, but you know what? I don't get in the word enough. And when I do read it, I read it because everyone says I have to. I just don't want it to be a thing where I have to do it. I want it to become a thing where I would love to get in the word of God, where I will just get so excited about the word of God because it speaks life to me. You know what? You make a decision right now and say, Lord, I'm going to see to it that I'm going to get in your word. I'm going to embrace your word each and every day so that I can truly experience the life that you want. If this is truly the cry of your heart, can you just raise your hand right now and say, that's me. I want the word of God to sink so deep within me that I am living it. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. You put your hands down. Father God, you've seen all the hands are raised. My hand is raised too, Lord. And I say, Lord, let your word just come alive. Every time we sit down and spend time with you, because we know, Father, as we sit at the table and read your word, we know Jesus is sitting right beside us. He's showing us how to live life. Because you love us so much, you don't want us to live a life of despair. You don't want us to live a life with no joy. I praise you, Lord, that we're crying out to you right now, Lord, we need you. Oh, Lord, we need you. I just pray for those that have raised your hand, Father, I pray as they're going to pick up their Bible, oh, the word that you will give to them will just come alive every single time, that you will speak to them in ways that they will know how real your voice is. They will know how real your power is. They're going to know that your word is all that they need in their lives. Father, when you do that, Lord, next time they pick up the Bible, huh, your words will truly jump out of the pages and right into their mind, right into their hearts. Give them great understanding, for they desire your word. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now for those of you who say, you know, Pastor Ben, I've heard people talking about having a relationship with God, with His Son, Jesus Christ. But what must I do? How do I get started? But the best thing you can do is just go to Him with your heart. I'm going to be praying a prayer in just a few minutes here. And if you're ready to receive Jesus Christ, you've never done this before, but you're saying, Lord, I want to receive you. I want to accept you into my life. I want to live for you. And if you're wanting to say yes to Jesus, you raise your hand right now. Say, yes, Lord, I want to give my whole life to you. Praise God. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Anyone else? Praise God. Anyone else? Praise God. Praise God. All right, you put your hands down. Why don't you repeat this prayer after me? Just mean it totally deep from your heart, from your soul. Just repeat. Father God,
Father God,
I need you.
I need you.
I give you praise for who you are.
I give you praise.
I believe in you.
I believe in you.
And I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ.
I believe in your Son, Jesus.
Died for me on the cross, But on the third day, he rose again. And he lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord, and make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this so you can hear me, Father God, and so that everyone can hear me, and so that I can hear myself, and so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for him, and I live for him only. Father God, write my name in your book of life, for I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says,
Amen.
Amen. It's awesome.